the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. Oh, I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place. Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Now everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Thanks, Elgin. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And if you're on Facebook Live, you're on my page here. Great show. Bringing back from the dead from the podcast world. Lenny Travis is in studio with us.
Yeah, I've been gone for a bit. And it was one of the original...
It was a Lenny and Dougie show when we first started.
Really?
On the Wii Network.
I got too content.
Yeah.
It's done. Done. Can't do it anymore. Can't have it.
And special guest and studio comedian, Mike Vecchione.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I'm late. I know you guys are probably talking shit about me but before I got here. But I had a good reason. I have to take my mother's car, and she's a teacher. And there was like a lockdown at the school because there was a shooting in the neighborhood.
What?
So there was they had like a lockdown. So then she was late. They had to stay in the dark with the kids for like an hour or something until...
Oh.
There wasn't a shooting in the school, but there was a shooting in the neighborhood. So it's like they had a lockdown. And then
there was a kid that the third grade.
I'm sorry if comedy had to suffer a little bit. The safety of our children is at stake.
First. Yeah.
Where am I looking right? Because I wanted to make my point.
Yeah, you're good there.
Thank you.
A third grader brought a gun to school. That was in the news in Florida recently, too.
Which school was it?
I don't remember.
I had my bet on Spanish River. You know, I place bets every week where there's going to be a shooting.
On the shit going bad.
I had Boynton to place. So I was wanting to cover all my bets. Yeah, I figured.
But we just had a nice show last night at Tavolino's.
Yes.
Hey,
decent crowd. Decent, you know, wasn't packed. Lenny thinks it's because of the Yankee game.
Really?
I was glued to it.
Baseball?
I was going to come see him. Then I was like, on Tuesday, I went, oh, Jesus, I've been, you know, I'm a fan. And I was like, you can't miss that one game's show.
Well, they beat, right? That was like a wild card game?
Yeah, it was easy. You know what? The Oakland, they did the weirdest thing I've ever seen in baseball. They have like one of the best bullpens. So the manager started the bullpen instead of a starter.
Really?
So, and the announcer goes, before he goes, you know, it's the best bullpen, but you know what's good about you get a starter is the guy gets better as the game goes on. And sure enough, the Oakland guy let up a home run to his second batter, and then they pulled him. And I was like, this is a disaster.
That's admitting defeat right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
He figured he'd use four or five pitches. He goes, let me just use my bullpen. It's the best bullpen almost in the league.
Hmm.
Wow.
Bad decision.
Or it was for the second half of the year.
Well, there you go. And our Marlins Stanton cracked. Was he one of the first guys to crack the home run? We talked about it on the show the other day when the guy from Boston, when they played the Red Sox, the fan threw the ball from the outfield.
He threw it back.
He hit it and hit Stanton in the arm with it. That guy was... We were laughing because the guy couldn't open a door for the next 2 days because he threw his arm out, most likely.
I'm sorry. While you guys were talking, I was thinking about football, which is a man's sport.
It's a man's sport.
While you guys drink martinis or whatever.
How'd you play football? Like a man. Do you like the Giants or the Jets?
I'm an Eagles guy because I lived in Philly for 8 years.
And then I'm
also from Youngstown, which is the Browns. But there's just been nothing to root for so long for the Browns. But I'm rooting for them. I root for them. But the Eagles, like, you know, world champions. I don't have to say it. I shouldn't have to say it.
Do you think it's going to happen again, though?
I mean, nah, they're struggling this year, but I believe, you know, after last year.
Everybody was excited about the Dolphins going 3-0, and then they got spanked by the fucking
The Patriots. I don't understand football at all.
Yeah.
It's hard to, in the Dolphins' defense, very hard to win that division with the Patriots there.
Yeah.
Very hard. Just like Cleveland's in a tough, like, the Steelers and the Ravens. It was just such a monster division for so long. It's like very hard to come out on top of that. Cincinnati's always good. It's like,
did you hear the story with the Super Bowl last year about this? This is the most amazing story I ever heard. The Eagles, they get to practice maybe the day before the Super Bowl. They ran all fake plays. Did you ever hear that story?
Uh-uh.
They ran all fake plays because they were afraid that New England was going to steal that plays. So they ran all plays that they didn't use in the game. And then I watched the Super Bowl with Dougie and a bunch of like 20 people. New England couldn't cover the Eagles. Every drive, Philadelphia scored. And then when I heard that, I go, that's the funniest thing I ever heard.
That's great. So, yeah, counterintelligence. Yeah. That's how deep this goes.
So you're saying when they were practicing for the Super Bowl.
They said, I don't know if it was one of the practices.
The walkthrough. Maybe the walkthrough.
The walkthrough. And they said that there were, you know, weird guys walking around the stands. And all it takes is a tiny hidden camera.
Right.
And in New England's known for this. They have a history. When I read this, you got to Google it if you could. But I don't even want to do it now. But that was amazing because we watched the Super Bowl together, and there were New England fans going, are you guys going to stop one play?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Who are you guys rooting for?
Oh, I always root against New England.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then you got to Philly, though. The underdog.
Sorry, Perry.
Yeah. Perry's like, you fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way.
No, we all watched it at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, yeah,
and,
you watched
there
it.
There was New England fans there, and we had a big Philly contingent there. So we sat at different tables, but everything was civil. You know, it was good.
Yeah. It should be.
That was one of the better games I've seen,
it
probably.
It was an unbelievable game. Yeah. What a great game. Yeah.
We're happy with it. Speaking of Perry Sack, brings me to a little bit of information that hit me today. Perry Sack does that little TV show called Nighttime Miami, and Perry's watching, I believe, if he's still there. And I got some news today, and you're being a New York comedy guy, you may appreciate this. They don't have the same kind of territorial shit. Although, if you work at the Comedy Cellar, you can't work anywhere else on that street or anywhere, right? I mean, that's pretty much.
Yeah, it's not that you can't. It's just
that's some rule. You can't work on the block.
No, I don't think it's that you can't. It was never framed that way. It's just that it just depends. If you get enough spots there, then it's like, why
go anywhere else?
Yeah, why go anywhere else? Then, at least in that area, you
right?
Know what I mean,
so. A local comic and booker, Fazil Malik, has been on this show.
Fazil. I know Fazil.
You know Fazil. And he has a room at the Irish, what's it called? Kelly's Irish Pub?
Yeah, yeah.
In Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
And he's been doing, him and Tim Kirby have been doing shows there for a couple of years, keeping steady. And our good friend Bobby Kent from Nighttime Miami, the executive producer of Nighttime Miami, which airs once every several weeks, if not every couple of months, on around 4 a.m., on a CBS affiliate, whenever he buys time. He went to Fazil's venue, got a show at his venue on the same night.
I see Dougie's blood pressure's head.
And then asking Kelly Brothers, thank Rod Joseph, who was watching on Facebook Live. And then the venue said, okay, we'll have Fazil move upstairs that night, and we'll give the show to Bobby Kent.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm going to get two crowds in this place.
Fazil talks to me about it. What would you do? I said, well, I would talk to the guy who runs the venue.
If I was Fazil, I'd get his green card first.
Yeah. I would tell Fazil to walk in with a suicide vest.
Yeah.
Scare the shit out of the guy. Don't make me pull the cord.
Yes.
You know.
Is there an upstairs to that place?
That's where the room originally was, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't even go upstairs. I wasn't aware there was an upstairs.
You've done that room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
last time I was here.
And
Fazil's a great dude.
And, you know, so, you know, the advice would be, what do you do? Like, again, I just told the guy, you got to go to the guy who runs the room and go, hey, we've been doing this for 2 years. And the fact that you're doing this to me, kind of treating me like a redheaded stepchild in this case. And the guy's all excited. He's like, he's going to put it on TV. I'm like, dude, this thing's been around for 8 years, Nighttime AM. I used to write for it. You were on it. You know, poor Perry Sack's been on it. And he's not, you know, it's never getting on an affiliate.
4 years ago, we do New Year's Eve, me, Dougie, Perry.
God.
And there's maybe 20 people in this room. It's in Hollywood, Florida. And Dougie goes up.
Well, go before you put me up. Why don't you set the build up?
Well, it was a terrible show.
It's a terrible show.
Okay.
The guy who owns
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
The guy who owns the room is yelling across when Perry's father's on stage. There's people on stage. The guy who's running the room is screaming, yelling out.
Anyway, one of the funniest things that you've ever seen. the guy and his wife and his little kid, maybe 4 years old, walk in about midnight, and Dougie's on stage already. No one was having a show because it was basically no audience. Mm-hmm. It was basically the people we bring and maybe some singers and maybe that date
right.
that were also on the show. So Dougie goes, what kind of fucking moron lets his son come to a show in a club? And the guy behind the bar was the owner goes, that's my son. And it was like someone lit a flag on, and Dougie and the owner start going back and forth. And I'm on next. And right in the middle of Dougie's set, the guy jumps over the bar and goes, show's over.
That's great. That's really funny.
But it didn't end there.
The show didn't end?
No, the show ended. Yeah. But then what happened, you know, Lenny was sitting there going, am I going up or what?
I actually bolted because I thought there was going to be a riot.
Yeah.
And it looked like there was. And then the next day I called Perry, one of the comedians, and he goes, I almost got killed. And yeah. I go, I sensed a riot.
Yeah.
And Perry got jumped by five of the guy's friends, and they almost killed him. He goes, I was beating up one guy. Another guy grabbed me. Another guy grabbed my arm.
Why were they attacking him?
Well, what happened was,
because they goes, oh, you're Dougie's friend?
Yeah, we were there. I was there with my wife and my other buddy and his girl, my wife's friend, were all there. And then, you know, we're just sitting out. And then the guy comes up to me, and, you know, a little guy owns the bar. He's like, he's saying shit. He's like this and that. I'm like, what do you want to do, brother? Go ahead. You know, make your fucking move. And the guy wouldn't do anything. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to finish this fucking drink, and we're getting out of here. We went next door. Next door.
You missed it, too.
We went next door. We hung out.
And I guess Perry was left
hung
in
out.
The bar.
He left there, and I guess the one guy said something. Perry was. He wanted to use his credit card. He wanted to pay his tab. And then the guy argued, and he says, you didn't tell me it was a right card, and they started arguing. And then Perry said, fuck you, and he threw something back at him. And then one of the guy's big buddies shows up. And they attacked, you know, Perry, and he got into a fight. And the next thing you know, like five guys jumped him.
But he said while he was being restrained, someone put him in a chokehold, and he felt himself going dark.
Blackout.
Like
Judge Kavanaugh.
Like a Kavanaugh.
Wow. He found himself blacked out in a bar.
Yeah. So that was that was one of those great gigs that Bobby Kent booked us on.
And just so, you know, a note to that lady, the Ford lady. You know, if she would have been quiet, there would have been no reason to put the hand over her mouth. Is that? I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm just saying. Maybe she was waking up people in the house. No clothes came off, by the way.
Lenny doesn't have to worry about this because he's not on Facebook, so he's not going to get trashed. He's not going to get trashed on that.
That's crazy, man. That's a crazy.
You ever had a bad night? You have a night of show where mayhem just breaks out?
Yeah, I've had terrible ones before, and it's always. It's always good to cut your losses and to get out of there. But some of those things are really funny when everybody's bombing. It's kind of funny in retrospect when you look at it like it's New Year's Eve and it's such a shit show. It's like, this is actually pretty funny.
Well, the funny part
was... And it makes a great story later to tell on a podcast. You know what I mean? It's like,
it wasn't even like a bomb. It almost was more like a rehearsal.
It's great because you didn't even get on. So it's like, it's always nice when you don't even have the... It's always nice when it falls apart before you get on. You're like, okay, well, this isn't any of my fault. And now I'm just going to kind of just sit here and watch this crumble.
I totally thought to myself, I don't want to go on.
Yeah.
That was another thing. So when it happens, you just look up and go, thank you, God.
Yeah.
Well, he said that's happened to him twice. Now, in all honesty, nobody was paying attention, but I started getting the crowd a little bit because I was fucking with everybody. I'm like, this is the worst place to have a show. That, you know, this kid's going to be the next Jeffrey Dahmer, the kid at the bar.
Yeah.
You know, and this, everybody started laughing and stuff, and then and the guy got pissed.
It went from downhill to the cliff.
I always like it when they don't like it, when they're having a comedy show, but they don't like it when you insult the room. It's like, all right, do you know what a comedy show is? let's start there. Let's backtrack and, like, let's talk about what a comedy show is before we even have this, you know?
I know.
But I like when they get offended and then they yell at you and then the yelling across the thing. And then when the show's over, it's like, that's really funny.
You know, I did some recent gigs like in these casinos, and it was always in the bottom of, like, you know, the thing you get for the show is like, please don't make fun of the hotel or the casino, the venue you're performing at. You know, it must happen, you know.
Right.
But, you know, what are you going to do? But that also happened. You talk about not going on stage. Wise Guys comedy show is Perry Sack, myself, and Lenny. We're at a place in Del Rey. Vero Beach at a country
club.
Another
amazing night.
This lady hires me because she sees me at the River at Comedy Zone in Vero Beach. And she's my act. So she hires me. And I said, no, I'm going to hire a few other people. So we go out to this country club, and we knew it was going to be a little suspicious, because when we got there, they had like a social hour or whatever it was, and everybody's in jackets and, you know, like all formal and shit. And we're like, we pull up and we were in t-shirts and, you know, as the comics.
Oops.
Yeah. And it was a little suspect because they had the sound. Remember, the sound sucked.
Yeah.
Like, we had to fix the sound. It was just not working well.
Did Perry go on first?
Yeah. Perry hosted. Now, they had round tables and they were serving full course meals. So that was a problem right there.
We were playing a catered affair.
Yeah. So Perry goes up. Nobody's laughing. Nobody's even paying attention. He's just bulldozing through his set. And then I go up. And I start with my anti-racist joke about, you know, names of black people name their kids. That's funny. You should say that, Dick.
Right.
And the guy goes up
to
Lenny.
The owner comes right up to me in the back of the room, and he goes, "He can't say that." And Dougie's got a, what's it, sperm whale joke?
Well, before that, remember
when I was going to say, wait until you hear the sperm whale splooging on everyone. If you didn't like that, stick around for this.
But there's the guy goes, because I told that joke, and he goes, "He can't tell that joke. There's black people in here." And Lenny goes, "You want me to call security?"
Yeah. I was like,
I like that. I like that when you ratchet it up and make it more serious.
Yeah.
They're like, "Can't do that." It's like, should we call the cops? Maybe we should call on the SWAT team to get him out.
No.
It's
like, you want to take him out?
It's also the best when they don't know comedy at all. So you're going to go on. We're going to serve dinner.
Yeah.
We're going to actually take the orders while you're on. And then right when you get to your 10-minute, once you start getting them, we're going to serve dinner.
That's
it's like
thing.
Always great when they don't know what they're doing at all, but they think they know what they're doing because they're hiring you.
I even said.
So they're telling you how it's going to be, and you're like, that just sounds like a nightmare.
And then I go, how about if we go on after everyone's done eating? And they go, no, there's dancing then. And I went, so you're just going to put down the salad plates right as the MC goes up? They go, MC, salad. You know, first course, Dougie, roast beef, Lenny.
That's great.
So Lenny,
I love it because they think it's jazz. They just think, oh, you'll be doing all of this while they're on. It's like comedy's not like that. It's like I've had this too. It's like we're gonna have people mingling around during your set. I'm like, this isn't music. It's not music. It's not the same. It's not the same concentration level. Yeah, they have to be seated. That's a thing, and they have to be looking. That's a thing, and they have to be listening. It's all the senses at one time.
We had the forever even at Tavolino's, because people would come in for dinner, and that, you know, as intimate as that room is, all of a sudden you got five servers walking into that floor.
Stop the show.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So we said for a long time, can we have dinner reservations at 7? That way they're done by 8, the time show starts. Now people are chilled out. They can sit back and watch the show. So you got to do that. But you just said something that's very funny. With all the shows I ever produced, they're all like, here's what we're going to do. And I'm like, nope. Like, I had a guy one time said, look, we want to do intermissions. I'm like, dude, I won't book a show. I will not produce a show that has an intermission. Just not going to do it. And they're like, why not? I'm like, because it doesn't work. You're not going to get the show started. And then, all right, time out, everybody. We're going to have an intermission because we want to sell booze.
I've seen that work in a theater. I've seen it work in a theater. What I've never seen work is this is proposed a lot. We're going to have a comic. Then we're going to have a band, and then a comic, and then a band, and then a comic. And, you know, mix it up a little bit. And then, no, that doesn't work at all, dude. It doesn't work at all. And by the way, the one thing where they were doing the mingling thing, they're going to mingle. They're going to talk. Like, no, you have to have them seated. Finally, we got all that, and then I still bombed. Completely bombed. And they were completely focused.
But the best
they were listening and everything, and it's like bombed.
You try to throw in a suggestion, you go, how about 3 comics, then all the bands? And the guy goes, no, I like my idea.
Yeah.
Boy, I was
mix
trying.
It up a little bit. They like to mix it up a little bit. It doesn't work in practice at all.
Yeah. It's not a big deal if the drummer has an 18-piece drum set. You got Neil Peart coming in to move his fucking drum set in between. I don't know. It's tough, man. People think they know what's best.
The best is when somebody's like, oh, we have a variety show. It's going to be about 4 hours. Would you like to host it? I'm like, I have no interest in doing that at all. They're like, they act shocked. What are you talking about? This is a great exposure.
Yeah.
Exposure to what? I don't know what you're talking about. No, it's not.
That's funny. Hey, let's speak of something that's pretty good. By the way, Ahmed says hi. He's going to be coming into town. He said he saw
it.
He said hi. I told him to see you tonight again. And he said you guys hung out at the Montreal
Comedy
Festival.
Hung out. He had a great set.
Now, this is the first time you're at Just for Laughs? You've been there before?
No, I've been there before. I was there 2010 for new faces, and I think 2013 I went again, and then I just recently went again. So
now, is something like that pay, or is that just
yeah it pays?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Pays well, or
yeah, it pays pretty well.
You get a hotel and the travel and all
hotel,
that kind of
but really the draw is the hangout with other comics.
Right. Yeah.
Like a lot of LA guys.
Yeah,
that
you're
I
not going
seen,
there for the money.
And no, you're not going there for the money. You're going there actually there for the exposure.
You're like, going to be there.
Getting yeah. seen, even in your when you're running your set. Like I did a Canadian television show. We taped for Canadian television show, but then we ran the sets every night at different venues. So it's nice. The exposure really is like you're running the set, so other people, other comics who never see you. Are seeing you and, right. and bookers and club like they're seeing you like oh dude I didn't know you were you know I didn't know I haven't seen you in a long time so
yeah, yeah.
so they see you and then you know that's all good that's always good plus the hang is great
yeah
that bar
yeah.
like the hang is a lot of fun we get hammered and party with comics it's just a good time
we were talking about that you know the World Series of Comedy just came from it's like summer camp
yeah
you know I mean every time we go it's just like summer camp Dustin Chaffin was there it was the first time he went. And he was like, that's the best part. And
yeah.
we had a great thing because talking about industry, the girl from America's Got Talent was there. So that was all. You know what I mean? So, you know, you get to get seen. You
yeah.
get some things. And
is everyone
like
getting
that.
Bombed?
I think so. I mean, I think it was funny because I mentioned we had edibles. And some people that normally don't get high got high. I'm gonna call him out. Gene Harding was funny because when he gets high, it's great. Because he's such a smooth dude when he gets high. He's just, you know,
that's
watching
great.
Somebody who's always composed and cool. Get high is pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
they don't know how to, yeah. you know.
Edibles are crazy, too, because it sneaks up on you, and then you're like, huh, I gotta go to the emergency room. I gotta go to the emergency room. It's like if you're not used to doing them, which I'm not either, but it's like, I'm about to call
I always
an
hear the same story. Like, someone goes, you take it, like, they eat, like, a part of a brownie,
yeah.
and 15 minutes doesn't work. You eat some more. 45, it doesn't work. You finish it. And then they say it could kick in an hour,
hit
and
you
then you're in absolute
Well, that's
trouble.
What happened to me. That's what happened to me. The guy says, here's a 30-milligram capsule. I'm like, yeah, I got no problem with that. You know, I'm a big guy.
You know, I looked that up. I think that's like an eighth.
Right?
So when would you ever do an eighth of weed in one sitting in
well,
your life?
Well, it didn't hit me, like you just said.
Yeah.
And then the guy had one of these chewy ones, like a little chocolatey caramel one. I'm like, I'll try that, too. And now, wow, the guy's looking at me. You're all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. It's not doing anything. I mean, and then yeah. I'm in the middle of the poker tournament, and I'm like,
I just sweat through my clothes.
I think I got five aces.
Oh, my God. I'm sopping wet.
Yeah. That's insane, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep it
it's
together.
It's like my body peed.
That's crazy. So, well, that's awesome about that, dude. And
yeah, it
just
great.
The camaraderie and just hanging out with people, man.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what those festivals are good for. They're really good for the hang and part. Because when you're on the road, like you guys know, when you're on the road, it's just you mostly. And then you're with... people from the town. You're with like local comics from the town who are great, but you don't have any real relationship with them.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? So and they're nice and you know, they could be funny even, but it's like you're kind of on your own.
Yeah,
so when you go to these festivals and you're hanging with people that you know but you haven't seen in a long time, it's like a big reunion. So it's a lot of fun.
It's great you go on a road with a friend and it's like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, 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 that's actually great if you could do that.
It's like, how often do you even
if you could
do
bring
that?
The whole show with you, if you have that kind of power, that's great. Yeah. No, that's more fun.
It's interesting you say that because as a feature comedian, one of the challenges we have is that there's a lot of headliners that bring their own feature.
Right.
And then there's also the comments that say, I don't have the power to bring my own feature.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
like it's harder to get work as a feature, right, these days because of that. You know, because everybody, I got my own guy or... You know, or I'm bringing my own person. You're like, all right. And then you got to wait. You know, it happens a lot with Off the Hook Comedy Club. They're like, all right, I got to see if this person's going to bring somebody or not.
Right, right.
And then you're sitting around waiting, you know, to see if you're going to get a gig or not, you know?
Right.
Hey, right. So you are always categorized as a great writer.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way.
My performance was exhilarating last night. It really took it to the next level.
You did seem a little more. The band never showed up, by the
band.
The way.
I like doing that. At Tavolino's, the drum set's there. There's instruments there. So I kept asking Dougie from the stage, is the band caught in traffic? What's the update on the band? I kept asking him that. I don't know. I think it's more about me having fun.
Yeah.
If I could just have fun, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And then keep it going and be a little off the wall, it makes it better. Because I have the jokes I have, I constantly keep writing. But in between, it's nice to be silly a little bit.
Right. Yeah. In a set like last night, did you pretty much have your outline of what you were going to do, or did it just come to you and you did it as it came?
I did it as it came, but I have chunks of material that I'm, some that I'm working on, some that I already have established. So I try to work the chunks, but in between, it's having fun. And I don't really like in those situations to talk to the crowd because it was a small group and they're eating. And I did not look like they wanted to be talked. There's two ways those things can go. And on there's three ways they can go. And only one is a good way. And that's when the people respond and you go back and forth. The other one way is that they don't want to be talked to because they're in a restaurant. They really don't want to be talked to. And the other way is they think they're the show. So they're like trying to like, oh, talk about us, talk about us. I'm like, I hate that more than anything.
Oh,
so I hate that. And then I don't want to, if they just want to eat and listen to the show, then I don't want to bother them really. So the only thing, it's hard to get in that setting, I would say. In that setting, that's a challenge. So I just didn't go into the crowd at all. I just was like, because they were small and it was an intimate setting. So I just went, I just kept yelling at Dougie, where's the band? And other stuff off the wall, like, I'll keep everybody here. I don't care. I have nowhere to be. You know, stuff like that. It was making me laugh.
You know what I did that was fun at that place is I take the mic and I hit the cymbals on the drum.
I was doing that.
Yeah, there's nothing funnier than that.
I really think that's funny. I kept doing it last night. Sorry, you know what? I didn't know you were doing it. It's parallel thinking. Yeah. I wasn't stealing your closer.
It's the rim shots.
Yeah.
He's such a hack.
My cymbal work is a hack. I didn't know you did that. I wouldn't have done that if I knew that was yours.
Hey, Lenny did it. It's great. Yeah. But tonight, by the way, if you're a Bremen Motor Cars member, tonight at the iHeart Performance Theater, I'll be there. Lenny and Michael will be there tonight.
Yes.
If you got last minute, if you're a Bremen Motor Car, you can get there. RSVP, you probably got a few minutes to do it.
What's a Bremen Motor Car?
You know, Bremen Motor Cars, like it's they have different like Mercedes, BMW,
right,
Bremen
it's
Motors.
One thing, and it's got the different brands.
Yeah,
under
so
the
if
one
you buy
label.
A car there, right. You become a Bremen member of the Bremen Motor Car Club, and they do these things. So we started doing these shows, and but the iHeart Performance Theater, for example, Ahmed, we're trying to get a show next week because we're going to do the Craftsman with my Manny Garavito next week on Saturday. So I asked Bremen to do it, but they said we just have this show, so we can't. But the iHeart Theater's still there, and now iHeart may be able to do it. They said, look, maybe we might sponsor the show and sell tickets.
Oh, wow.
So we're working on that, you know what I mean? And trying to get on, and Ahmed's going to be on Paul Casanova next week, too, and try to promote the shows and stuff. But, you know, dude, this whole booking thing is driving me a little crazy. You know what I mean? It's like...
Really?
Yeah.
It's not good.
Dude, it gets crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, we were doing Tavolino's every week for a long time.
Yeah, then that
stopped.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's like, it's just like, it's got to the point where I'm like, God, I would just wish I was just focusing a little more on less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just focus on writing and performing
right.
and doing this, and that's it. Yeah, you know, we were talking about stepping up and becoming more noticed, viral videos, anything, you know, to get noticed out there so you can get pulled in. Yeah, you know, to get in regular work. So,
but don't you guys have to book stuff down here because of the? I don't know how many. It's you need rooms down here, and in order to have rooms, you guys have to. Somebody has to take a room. You know what I mean? So, isn't that for work purposes? Like,
well,
so that more people have work.
Well, that's what we started. You know, we started doing the shows at the Dubliner and Meisner Park. That was the first gig that we ever booked. And it was that, and you know, and of course, New York Comedy Club got pissed. They tried to take it over from us. But back, this is our room. Fuck you. This is my room.
New York Comedy Club's right down the block from this gig. So we invite the owners to go, hey, look what we have right down the same block as you guys.
And we thought it's okay because it's Sunday. Yeah. They don't have shows on Sunday. Right. We thought it'd be cool.
And it was packed. Right. And we went, isn't this great?
Yeah.
they looked at us like they were going to kill us.
Oh, really? You figure there's no conflict.
They were pissed.
Right? Because it's a Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. And, you know, of course, we brought Steve Marshall. One of the shows, and it got ugly.
We figured we'll use your headline. He's in town anyway.
Yeah, you guys paid.
You guys are okay with that?
But that, you know, that's the thing, though. Listen, you didn't get enough stage time, so we tried to book other rooms. And that's why we do it. You know, and that's why you know that's why I like Tavolino's gave a lot of people work.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, now it's challenging because there's a lot of headliners that we won't. You know, we're not doing it every week, so you know the owner just wants to have. Nationally known headliners, you know, for special shows. And that, you know, had a couple people like, well, I'm not special. I'm like, well, how do you tell somebody they're not special? You know, so I had to get a little tense here and there, but fuck, what am I going to do?
Should book a retarded guy.
Yeah, well, no, it's not. It's not. That's not coming from you. You know what I mean? Like, that's coming from the venue, basically, right?
You would think that the average person would understand that I'm trying to, you know, satisfy the owner of the venue.
Right, right.
I'm not just doing this because it's the way I want to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I've had some. I think most people, for the most part, most people get that, but there's still those people that are a little mentally challenged that take everything personally, probably because they do a lot of cocaine.
Do you work most weekends, Mike? Like, is it hard to be worked like every single weekend?
I work every weekend, but it's not amazing. Like on the road. Like if I'm not on the road, I'm in the city. I'll just stay in the city and work.
You know, but even in the city, you could kind of make some decent
money. Yeah. I'll run around and do spots. Yeah.
Where's most of the clubs you work in the city?
Mostly the Comedy Cellar because they have three rooms now, so they have three rooms running. So there, the Stand when it was open.
They're
reopening another room, but it's. I don't think it's going to reopen until November. Now I think it's delayed. I don't know what's going on.
It's a different location.
It's a different location because they bought the block. I think some developers bought the block that it was on before. But that was a great club, and it'll be a great club again when it gets restarted. So those two downtown rooms, Stand Up New York once in a while, Gotham. I don't know what I'm leaving. Oh, Broadway Comedy Club.
So it's a fun room.
Yeah, it's great.
So how often will you go out or on the road? Like whenever half the year?
I book. So it's usually about two weekends.
Right.
But like October, like I'm out a lot. November, I'm out a lot. December, I have nothing on the books.
Right.
So it's just like that. And then coming the beginning of the year, like I have some stuff.
It's
erratic, you know. Now, but you know your number, like you know you're not like what number you'll leave for, and you know what number you won't leave for. So it's like, this is a local gig. Like I know all the scenarios now in my head. It's like, oh, this is a local gig outside. This is an hour drive. Blah blah blah. It's this money, and it's like, no, can't do that. How about for this money? It's like, okay, I'll do it for that money. I'll do it for like, and I don't have a car now either. So it's like, can I get a middle? Because I live in Astoria. A lot of comics in Astoria. So I'm like, let me give somebody some work who has a car who can open, and you know, and so like but from experience I'll know how to navigate those situations.
It's good
that we all have that problem.
Well, it's good you did, like we were just talking, I'm going to be at Zany's in Rosemont. Now they don't give the features a hotel, so I was counting on Ignite Hospitality, which is a company that gets you bartered rooms, because they had one right there in Rosemont. You can walk. I said, great, got a cheap flight, I don't have to rent a car, I'll sell some merch, I actually make a little money. Now again, I make other money, right? This isn't my only source of income, so I can not rely on it. So I'm doing it more for the value of the stage time, the exposure of being there, and you know, and this kind of stuff. So if I walk away with a couple $100 on the weekend, I didn't spend money, I'm happy. You know, I got to perform. I'm opening for Eric Griffin. I'm pretty excited to work with the guy. He's funny. So I don't care. But now, they don't have a hotel there. So now I'm sitting here scrambling. I'm like calling hotels hey, I give you free tickets if you let me stay for free. So it's becoming a chore, you know what I mean? But you can't cancel a gig.
Right.
You're not going to cancel it a week or two before the fucking show now. So, but it's amazing that you do that, because I'm at that stage. I just want to, if it's a good gig, I'll do it as long as I'm not losing money. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they definitely got to go to the come a time. You're like, there's an amount that I got to make. Otherwise, it's just not worth it.
It's not worth it. And and it's not worth your energy. And then after a while, you're like, also, I'm a good I'm a very good comic. So it's like, and then you'll leave after the weekend. Like, you're a great comic. I'm like, yeah, I know. So like, I know that it's. But you know,
have you ever gotten to say like after the weekend, you look and say, look, I'll come back, but you got to up it up. You got to up my money.
Well, because I don't want to say they don't care if the comedian's good, because they care obviously, because they want to be a reputable club, but they also care about. We get that you're great, but it's like we need to fill the seats, which means it translates to you need to fill the seats,
right?
Really, basically now, because it used to be that I think, Lenny, correct me if I'm wrong. It used to be you go in the club would bring the people in. Your job, which is knock it out of the park. It's not like that now. Yeah. So
you want
me
to do magic before each show, like wave something?
They don't really. It's not like that now. Now it's about like, oh, you didn't. You know, it's about your draw. It's about what you're bringing to the table as far as draw-wise.
So not only you got to be
the integrity of the comedy is like...
So not only you got to be talented, you also got to be the draw and the marketing guy. You know, it's not just one thing to be able to just get on stage and do your job. They're looking at that. You know, at the recent festivals I've been in, that's a big thing. They're like, because comics are getting pissed, or some kind of like, hey, you're going to get a YouTube comic up there.
Right.
It's going to get up there and eat a dick. But the comedy club doesn't care because they're going to put 100, you know, 1,000 or whatever.
I don't know if they don't care. They care because they know that the comedy community is pretty, like, it's pretty small. So they want to do those. They want to, because they want the numbers and they want to sell drinks and they want food, but they don't want to be known. They still want to have the reputation as a good club.
Right.
And a reputable club. And the way to do that is you have to book good acts. So there's a balance there. Yes, they want the money. They want to sell it. But if they do too many of those, they know they'll lose credibility as a comedy club with good comics.
Right.
So.
Sometimes
I understand both sides of it. I really do. Like,
yeah.
I understand they want to sell the room out. I understand that they will sell the room out, and these guys will buy drinks and blah blah blah, and they sell their merch. So it's I get it. I get the
yeah. This is a business. I think some comedy clubs, what they'll do is they'll get those guys on like a Thursday or Wednesday, Thursday. You know,
that's really the move, to get those guys like on a Monday, Tuesday, get them on an off
like
day.
So they get money in during the week,
right?
Right, and then the real shows, you know, the
because those
comedy.
People are going to come out anyway. To the YouTube star's credit, those people will come out for them
on any day. It doesn't matter if the Yankees are playing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
look at Lenny. Didn't show up because the Yankees are playing.
What? Someone said something. Yankees were playing, dude. It's the Yankees.
What an asshole! Hey, by the way, it's that time of day.
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure. Some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
That's right. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of it. Just that simple. Did you guys see was it the Ryder Cup? Did you watch that?
The golf?
Yeah. I know it's not a manly sport, Mike, and you probably wouldn't.
Did someone get a right thing?
That's what I was going to say. A woman hit by Brooks Koepka, whatever his name was. She nearly died and plans a suit against the Ryder Cup. Now, my question is, if you're sitting there at a golf tournament and you're like, I was always amazed when you see these people about to drive and all those people standing like 5 yards away and just somebody's not going to shank it and like drill somebody in the head.
Do your arms not work?
Yeah.
If you see a ball, I know if you're not paying attention. You know, as I was reading that, I just kept thinking, that is an amazing shot.
Yeah. Connie like Romani.
So what? Break down what happened. Did the ball like?
I guess he hit the driver. Yeah. Ball went off course,
right,
and hit a lady directly in the eye.
Okay, well she didn't have time to block that.
Right,
she didn't have time to block it.
Even if you were looking, you probably can't.
I'll be
even
honest
see
with you.
It.
I'm being triggered from this story. So, you know what I mean? Like, I think, can I sue you guys?
But when you Google it, it says the woman's eye exploded.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh.
After being struck by the errant Brooks Koepka tee shot, she could have died if it hit her on the side of the head.
You always wonder why that doesn't happen more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The 49-year-old French woman told BBC
News. She wasn't even American?
Nope.
Why are we talking about this?
I know.
Yeah. Hey, my eye. The news that the handful of concerns have made her very angry in the aftermath, allegedly life-threatening incident. The European tour officials countered all her claims, telling the news that tickets clearly state safety concerns. Four was yelled multiple times.
Cover your eyes, you stupid people.
Cover your face.
A French person getting angry is pretty funny.
I'm so mad that you.
I can't do a good French. I can't
it is not
French.
My dog.
Keto, you idiot.
You Keto, you fool.
I cannot see now from my eye. I can't watch golf like I used to.
So the Ryder Cup is when different countries compete against each other.
I think
right?
It was us
US.
Against Europe.
The U.S. against Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we lost.
What
we
was
lost.
The European golfer who hit the European person?
Koepka, I think, is American, I think.
Oh, an American hit the European person?
Yeah, he planned it. Yeah.
Look, he wouldn't even be there if it wasn't for us.
I hate Macron.
World War II.
Yeah.
So, take it with a grain of salt in your eye.
Don't be an asshole. Yeah, that's like when people get beamed at baseball games, man. You know, like when you sit down third base line or first base line.
Right.
You got to be ready,
well, that's
man.
What happened last year.
Ready,
they extended the net.
That's not a thing that usually happens. So you guys are acting like they deserve it. I hate to take the opposite side here.
There was calmer involved. I would love to question this person.
It's going to be uncomfortable. But you act like those guys have it coming. It's like third base line. You got to be ready for that. It's like, I don't know if I'm ready for it. I'm ready to watch a game, not be part of it.
You don't bring a mitt to the game? You don't bring a glove?
No.
I would love to question the person over bad karma. So years ago, you didn't do anything?
Yeah. You didn't get drunk in your freshman year in college?
I'm sure it'll all come out at the trial. There'll be a civil suit.
Yeah.
But who do you sue there? Do you sue Europe? I'd like to bring a suit against Europe.
Deep pockets, baby. That's what we learned in pre-law school. You eat the deep. You always wish you. It was like you get hit by UPS truck. You know, you don't want to get hit by Bill's, urinal services. You want to get hit by UPS. Amazon.
It'd be funny if they clicked on the music. Instant Karma is going to get you.
Speaking of karma, Southwest flight from Chicago delayed an hour after a woman calls flight attendant the N-word and is removed from the plane. You talked about this at Pizza Hut. They put the N-word on the box.
Was it
of the
Pizza Hut?
But this was something different. Yeah. What is up with people with the N-word? People have just been emboldened to say it now. It's like they just fucking throw it out. But you thought,
Dougie, this is just on the internet. It says, was it Pizza Hut?
Yeah,
it said pizza worker gets fired for writing the N-word on the box.
Well, they're probably competing with Papa John.
Sorry. Better ingredients, more racist people.
I go, maybe if the other boxes were, like chink, spick, Jew, and they just wanted to make sure the pizza got to the right place.
It was equal racism.
That's from what, Pizza Hut?
I think so.
I don't want to blame them because I just said a worker gets fired while I was on one of my news sites.
A Southwest airline passenger traveling on a flight from Chicago to Houston was removed from the plane after she called the flight attendant the N-word.
Was she black?
The flight attendant? Yeah. Yes.
All right. And I'm not saying that's okay at all.
And the woman who said it was white?
Yes.
That's terrible.
I mean, that's nuts.
A witness reported that the woman initially became upset at the flight attendant when the flight attendant asked her to put her tray table up to prepare for takeoff. The request normal. It's a normal request. They asked you to do it.
Crazy.
Let the expletives fly.
I was on a flight recently where it was a black woman and she had her earphones on, and the flight attendant came up, "Ma'am, you're gonna have to put that in airplane mode." And she goes, "Yeah, I know." And she got a little aggressive, and the woman said something, and she was like, "This fucking lady," there was a young girl sitting next to her and stuff. I'm like, "Oh, this is gonna get ugly,"
Here it comes.
Oh, it didn't.
No.
It's always nice when no one gets kicked off the plane.
Yeah.
And everybody can just fly to their destination.
Yeah, it doesn't get delayed.
But no, that's an insane thing. It's an insane thing to do. That's just, put your tray table up. Just do it.
Oh, give me a...
Just do what you're told.
Yeah.
All right. And then if it does get out of control, don't say that.
I had a flight once where...
I'm still amazed that people do that.
To make the connecting flight, we were circling the airport, and when you're looking at your watch going, I could still make this connecting flight, and sure enough, we land, and we run for a solid 15 minutes, and let's say it was a 4 o'clock flight, we get there at 5 to 4,
right.
And there's no one left, the plane's still there, and I go, I made it, and they go, oh, we gave you ticket away. I go, how? They go, you got to be here a half hour before to check in, and we were just numb. We had to wait for probably 3 hours for the next flight.
Oh, my God. I thought from the running, you're like, I can't believe I had to run for 15 minutes.
But after all that running with your bags and we got our carry-ons, we're like, you can't. The plane's right there. They go, no, I gave your seat away. I go, you knew we were in the air.
Right. Do you guys not communicate?
They got no sympathy.
That happened when I was just flying back from Cincinnati. I never want to fly through Atlanta. Atlanta is always the worst. You got experience. Every time I land or connect in Atlanta, there's always some fucking delay. There's always something. So we're about to take off in Cincinnati, and the pilot goes, "This is your pilot speaking. We're all ready to go. Unfortunately, they're not ready for us in Atlanta, so we're going to shut down the engines and wait here for about 20, 25 minutes. And that's always sucks when you're on a plane, because I don't know about you, but I'm never cool on a plane. It's always hot for me.
Right.
I'm never that air that comes out of that little fucking spigot is never enough air. You know what I mean? And then I try to steal the air that's coming down to the one in the middle, can I have your air? You don't really seem to be using it. And no, I'm going to turn it down. I don't want it too cold. You can just redirect it to me because I'm sweating like a beast over here.
Do you ever hear the baby's just crying on top of his lungs and you just look there and you go, I know. Like, that's what I've, that's I what, get it. Like, I want to do that right now.
Here's a story. Burger King is being questioned because seems like some of the workers had put some cleaning product in one of the drinks.
Okay.
When the cops. I don't think cops should not eat at fast food.
Oh, they saw it was a cop, so yeah. They did something?
Well, first of all, they've had this. You've had these stories where they won't serve them, right? Which I always think it's funny because you talk about karma. It would be great if that place got robbed and the comics or the police like, sorry, we can't make it. Yeah. We're too busy getting lunch. We had to go get over here at Zaxby's Chicken, you know?
I'd rather that. I'd rather them not serve me if I'm a cop than for them to put something
Hell in. Yeah.
Yeah. Even when I go up, I'd be like, hi, I'd like to order, but before I do, are you going to put anything in my food? Because yeah. Like, I'm just trying to eat and do my
you
job.
You want nothing or a burger with spit? I'll take nothing.
I'll take that.
And I like it. That's nuts, man. I mean, yeah, why would cop? Like I said, why would cops do that at that point, right?
You know, my wife's ex-husband was a cop, so she just hates cops just from dealing with him. Right. So anytime there's cop news, she'll just go, oh, that's terrible. And I go, Jesus, honey, Jesus. Oh, yeah, they didn't deserve that. I'm like, come on, Men in Blue.
The fast food places, man, they I don't know. It's that's pretty nuts. I don't think that happens. I think that when it does happen, when they get it always makes the news. It's always like right for the front page because they try to think the you news know, is very like anything possibly that they can stir up, they'll stir up.
When you pay these people so low, like anytime there's like the outbreak from what's it called? Like
salmonella.
Salmonella from the lettuce. Yeah. They go, how is salmonella from the lettuce? I go, well, you know, when you're getting paid $3 a day, what's your incentive not to wipe your ass with the lettuce?
Yeah.
I had to go, what'd you use to wipe your ass? The lettuce. You're going to get fired. Oh, no.
Not me. Here's a story. Gender reveal party went seriously wrong and started a huge fire.
You couldn't tell who anyone was? Is that like you're revealing your gender there? Or?
Well, you can't say women and children out first because how do you identify?
Yeah, everyone leaves.
Yeah, how do we know? In New York, by the way, in New York, they're going to have a third gender now, right? Didn't de Blasio announce that a birth certificate will have a third gender?
What's that third gender?
I don't know. X?
Is that the Q?
Yeah, it could be.
Q,
I don't know.
Q's undecided?
How do you know?
Well, they should make it a train that runs more. The queue is very spotty, the way that it runs.
I mean,
there's a lot of delays.
How do children know at birth that they don't identify with their sex?
That's funny.
You know what I mean?
The New York subway system. If you're taking the LBGQ train. I'm taking the...
where are you taking it to? Justice. Taking it to justice.
With a stop at equality. Yeah, I'm sorry. My energy, my power on my computer went out. So now I'm sitting here waiting for the story to pull up.
Is this even going to air?
Yeah, no, this is going to be like Nighttime Miami. It's going to come on at like 5 in the morning.
Nice.
At some point.
We're live, right? Are we live?
Yeah, we're live on Facebook, so that's fine. But in the meantime, you know these big fires that they had? Like the last major fire they had out there was just some guy that fucking started the fire.
California?
This one kid, and he's getting fined like $300 million a family. I mean, you know, when I was on my run through the Southwest, I was going through New Mexico and all that shit, and I had like a joint in my hand, and I was about to throw it out the window. I go, oh no, I better not.
Jesus.
Yeah. This shit could be started with an argument, you know? It's fucking, you know what I mean? It's like, it's horrible, you know? I told that one, the crowd groaned. I go, I was in California the other day while it's still there. You ever think about moving to California and not New York, or you would never make that switch?
I would make the switch for the right opportunity and money, but I would have to adjust. I've had this conversation with Ari Shaffir because he's a guy who goes back and forth and works equally. You know, he works a lot in New York, and he'll work a lot in L.A. So I think the adjustment would have to be, because I do so many spots in New York, that if you go to LA, it's much less spots. So you would have to tape everything. I tape stuff now, but you would have to tape everything that you did and then really listen to them and work the jokes out before you go up. Now I just like, okay, if I don't get it on this one, I'll try it on the next one,
right,
or I'll try it a different way on the next one, because I have so many spots. But in LA, it's not like that, and I would have to adjust to it. But I think the way to adjust to it is tape it and then, you know, because we're lazy. I'll be the first to admit that I'm lazy sometimes, and I don't do that in New York just because I'm used to the number of spots that I have. So in LA, I would have to put it on tape, and then I would have to sit down and rework a bunch of different endings. And then when I got an opportunity to go up, I would have to, like, try them all.
It's interesting.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
All right, we got power back. Okay, so here's what happened. When the off-duty Border Patrol agent Dennis Dickey used a high-velocity firearm on April of 2017 to shoot a target filled with either blue or pink powder, he caused an explosion that set the Coronado National Forest ablaze.
One guy.
And ultimately damaged more than 45,000 acres of land. The District of Arizona said the news release. Dickey immediately reported the fire to law enforcement. The 37-year-old pleaded guilty on Friday to starting the fire without a permit.
What was his defense? We didn't start the fire? A Billy Joel defense, finally. Sorry. I'm sorry for most of these jokes, guys.
It's coming out. Dickey plea agreement stipulates that he'll pay over $8 million in restitution.
$8 million? Like, what does that guy do for a living?
Yeah, really. Jesus. Received a sentence of 5 years probation and make public service announcements with the U.S. Forest Service.
We just want you to be Smokey the Bear from now on. You're basically going to have to be
put the suit on.
Yeah. Try it on. See how it fits. Gender reveal parties would seem to get more and more extravagant every year.
That seems like a violent gender reveal thing to shoot. You know what I mean? Our baby's going to be a sniper, boy or girl.
Could you imagine, like, the kid finding out, yeah, when we figured out your gender, daddy lit up half the fucking Northwest. That was me? Yep, that's right, son.
Oh, my God.
Here's a sorry. Jets star Isaiah Crowell wins an endorsement after being fined by the NFL for rubbing his ass with the football. Remember that?
I think I saw that.
That was last weekend, wasn't it? He used the football to wipe his ass.
The Jets are insane.
Doesn't that fall under celebration? He's celebrating. Everybody celebrates differently.
Well, who was the guy? It was Seattle Seahawks. The guy who got hurt. The guy who was going to get traded. He broke his leg and he gave his own fans the finger.
Yeah.
I mean,
last week as he getting caught at all.
I didn't see that, but I saw the story. But didn't he give his own sideline the finger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was being traded. He was, they got rid of him and shit. New York Jets running back Isaiah Crowell ran into some trouble on Tuesday when the NFL fined him $13,369.
How did they come to that number?
Exactly. For the crude touchdown celebration in Cleveland. However, Crowell's stunt in front of the national audience against the Browns turned into an endorsement opportunity he couldn't pass up.
Who's it for?
Charmin?
Charmin, yeah. Yeah. Is it really? That's great. But wiping your ass with the ball in front of Cleveland fans, it's like, hasn't Cleveland been through enough?
I know, right?
Really. I mean, I know you're happy that you scored a touchdown, but still, a little restraint.
It made for a viral moment when the New York's 21-17 loss to the previously winless Cleveland. Aaron Cromwell scolding from his coach. Well, it did not like it as a mother, Debbie Crowell said, his mom. I was literally shocked in such a mild-mannered person. He usually doesn't do such things.
That's great.
He usually doesn't wipe his ass. He just rubs it on the carpet.
I really love that his mother came out against him. Like, I agree with you. He's wrong. I mean, he's a good kid. I love him, but he's wrong on this one.
Is that the way you raised him?
That's something my mom would do. It's like yeah, it's right is right. That was wrong. He's actually wrong. No one ever does that anymore. That's really refreshing.
Yeah.
The refreshing part of that story is like, actually, he's wrong. So, yeah.
Turns out that he landed a promotion deal with Dude Wipes.
Okay.
A company that sells toilet paper substitution for men.
That's great. It worked out in the end.
The company in the end. Exactly. posted photos. Crowell posted photos on social media regarding the product. A wipe to remember. We've got you covered, Isaiah Crowell's a tweet. From Dude Wipes.
Great.
I thought about, you know, they have the moist wipes when you're in the bathroom.
Right.
So I was sick. I just got over it about 5 days ago. But about a week ago, I was out with the flu. And so I'm on the bowl. And I blew my nose. And I went, oh, moist towelette. I go, don't tell anyone this. Don't tell anyone this. I was about to tell the wife. I go, oh, you know how those guys use? And I go, ah, some
I
things are better left.
I can't believe you shared.
Some things are better left.
Colorado bowling alley owner dies when he gets stuck in the pin setter.
Sweet.
Oh, my God.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
He got stuck in that thing that goes down? The pin setters?
Yeah. Those are dangerous, I think.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to work at the bowling alley. You know, it was like, it paid more than the grocery store, and all that stuff.
And it's a cooler place, too. Don't just say it like it's a, it's a cooler place than the grocery store.
There's chicks there and shit, you know, so you can, there's game rooms you can hang out at and stuff, right? But then the money was like, it was ridiculous, the difference. But then I remember the first day I get there, and like, okay, and they took us back there, and I'm like, there's just too much shit moving back here, man. You know what I mean? It's like, I saw it right away.
Don't you think to yourself, I don't want to die funnily.
In Florence, Colorado, the owner of a Southern Colorado bowling alley has died after getting stuck in the pin setter machine. Police in Florence, about 100 miles southwest of Denver, say they responded to a call early on Sunday afternoon and found 65-year-old Hector Rodriguez of Penrose stuck in the machine. And he was last seen as the 9-pin.
Wow.
I think there was a Simpsons where Homer gets a job in the bowling alley,
right.
And the guy goes, "Be here at 9 o'clock and bring an extra pair of pants. You'll know why when it happens."
We'd like to. I guess the call, the 911 call, had to be funny. We'd like to report a strike. We'd like to report a spare.
Yes. He's 7'10" split.
Maybe they'll all wear that would be a nice thing if they showed up to the memorial or the funeral. They all wore bowling shoes to show solidarity. Yeah. It's like, he's our guy. He's our guy. When a guy like that goes down.
The casket came rolling out of a ball return machine.
There's something there. Yeah. That's it.
Here comes Charlie.
Yeah.
Here's a story. Vehicle catches fire after owner places incense sticks on it to pray for safety. Man accidentally burned down his minivan when he was praying for safety to mark the Mid-Autumn Festival. The man, surnamed Zhang in Wenshaw Autonomous Prefecture, Southwest China, of course that happens in China, Yunnan Province, offered prayers and ancestors and burnt incense sticks on Monday. He inserted the incense sticks in a gap near the front plate of the vehicle and left for home. The incense accidentally ignited the vehicle. When the nearby people saw that the vehicle was on fire, the dense smoke coming out of it, they called firefighters, much like you should do. You know, Mike was a firefighter.
You were a fireman?
No.
He was a volunteer fireman.
I saw you do that.
What
a
great
joke.
Bit that is.
I did that joke, but my take on it is we're all kind of volunteer firefighters. If you're on fire, I'm not going to not put you out.
It's not like you can go, it's not my duty.
It's not my thing.
All you got to do is get water.
How much are you going to pay me?
The fire was later put out by firefighters. No one was injured. The vehicle's windshield was broken with a big hole in it.
And the guy died?
No, he was fine.
Okay. Well, maybe he should pray that the next time, for that not to happen.
Now here's the thing. I got to ask you guys this. Kids, you don't have kids, right?
No, I do not.
You know, Lenny, no kids either. The three of us have never had kids. We never slipped one by the goalie. But parents today, I used to coach soccer. You know, I used to run a martial arts school and stuff. And kids are great. It's the parents that are a pain in the ass.
Right.
All right. That's what it's always right. People. I can deal with the kids or no problem. It's the fucking parents. Why isn't Billy playing? Because he sucks. And he doesn't listen in practice, you know, and all kinds of things. But here's a story where a mother has filed a federal discrimination suit because her son was cut from the high school soccer team. Parents.
Federal discrimination against what?
The mother of a high school student who did not make his high school varsity soccer team was cut from the junior varsity team has filed a federal discrimination suit against the Missouri high school. Their mother, referred to as Jane Doe, in the suit, said her son, referred to as John Doe, will face irreparable harm if he cannot play on the Ladue Horton Watkins high school soccer team. Hey, not everybody makes the fucking team.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. There would be no wrestling because half of my team in Ohio, they'd go out for basketball and then they would get cut and then those kids would come out for wrestling. That's actually the sport of wrestling, how they get – and there's no cuts for wrestling because the practices are so hard that it starts with like 50 or 60 kids and drops to 30.
Dude, I used to remember that. You're right. The wrestlers practice – they wear in the garbage bags, yeah, and they're running the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck would
just
do that?
You cut yourself. So yeah. You're like, I'm not doing this anymore.
I don't
anymore.
Think I can make this.
But I would have liked to quit and been like, I'm filing a discrimination suit against the coach because it was the practices are hard.
He wouldn't let me do the sleep.
He said the figure four is off limits.
Yeah, I thought I would be doing pro wrestling. I'd be coming in with a song, wearing a cape. None of this is happening.
I got a hot chick that's going to escort me to the ring. This guy with a weird hat.
I would love to be doing that, losing the match. He's got a chair. Why? How's he have a chair? What's he doing? This kid's got. He's got the microphone. He's making bold statements.
Salt in my eyes. What's going on?
He threw powder. That was a joke. You talking about wrestling? I remember. I was like, you're about as useful as a WWE referee.
That's great too. You know what I mean? Yeah.
What importance?
They're
of
always
you.
Counting for some reason.
Yeah.
Two,
one,
three. Yeah.
You say a bad word. One. Two. All right, I'll stop. Okay, you get him by the neck again. He let go. He starts counting again.
What are the rules exactly?
You
there
ever
are
get,
no rules.
You ever get a Woody when you watch the female wrestlers?
Come on, Lenny.
I just do. I see dude. One chick beating the hell out of another one. I'm like, oh,
Lenny, dude, it was so funny. During the Summer Olympics, Lenny's like, I don't think I should be watching the gymnastics this closely.
Oh, yeah. I walked into a room full of these comedians and guys. It must have been 20 people, and they're watching gymnastics.
Yeah.
And I go, is that the hottest thing you ever saw in your life? And one guy turns around and goes, I don't think these underage girls are hot at all. And I go, who's looking at the girls?
By the way, our friend Al Martin, congratulations for getting accepted into the Friars recently. Says,
oh, cool. Very
says
cool.
Here, one of the best... one of the best comics in a city with great comics. Hello, Lenny.
What a sweet guy.
Yeah, exactly. The love of a Hard Knocks Butts character. All right, so that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Kind of an anticlimactic end of the show, but we got things to do. And don't forget tonight, well, you can't really go to the show unless you're a Bremen Motor Car member. And but we're going to have fun tonight. And anything else coming up while you're here, or you have the rest of the weekend off?
No, I'll be at the Comedy Inn. I'll be at the Comedy Inn in Miami all weekend. So.
There you go, Comedy Inn Miami.
Yeah, if you're in Miami, come out. Yes, we're going to have great shows.
Friday and Saturday, two shows each, usually around 8:10. Yeah. Great deal, by the way. It's $40, gets you in the show, and it's an open bar.
Wow,
oh,
that's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it's a great deal.
I've never been down there before, but I've heard good things, really good things about the club, so I'm excited.
Great crowds. I was there with Schubert a few weeks ago.
You ever do a show with an open bar? I just remember a couple of them where it was just like anarchy.
Well, that was funny. The late show, the last show, and they said this could be a dirty show. So when I open for you, I try to. I'm more of a clean comic anyway. Right. And then I was like, and then I just started ripping. I just all my dirty shit. And Mike, the guy, runs like, "What the fuck? That was awesome!" I'm like, "Well, dude, I'm trying to be clean. I'm not going to open up with all this shit when I'm opening for somebody." But I'll do it next time. Anyway, thanks for watching the show, guys. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. Join our fan page on Facebook at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. I got some dates coming up. Zanies in Rosemont. I'm going to be at Colorado Springs at Looney's Comedy Corner. And I'm going to be at the Comedy Cabana in Myrtle Beach. So go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. How about you? Where can they find you, Mike?
I'm at Comic Mike V on Instagram and Twitter. And I have a new album out called The Worst Kind of Thoughtful. Please buy it on iTunes. It's comicmikev.com/thoughtful. You could buy it. And I'll be in, where am I next week? Comedy on State. I'll be at Comedy on State the 13th through the 15th in Madison, Wisconsin. So please come out for that if you're in
Lenny,
Wisconsin.
I'll be on the beach.
Lenny's going to be in Coconut Creek pondering.
Yeah, still swimming twice a day, going to the gym.
Living the life, this guy. Anyway, we'll be back next week with all new shows. Thanks for watching, guys, and catch us here next week, right at the same time.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And yellow colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting.
watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky is the landing. Carry to the world, children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beaming light hit the ground.